Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Scale Up Method, where we teach you to reach the next level in business, build your dream team, and scale beyond eight figures. Too many business owners are stuck trying to do everything themselves, and their businesses are suffering as a result, and I don't want you to be one of those people. I'm Allison Maslin, and my company, Pinnacle Global Network, has helped thousands of business owners scale their companies using my framework, the Scale Up Method. All business owners face similar challenges when it comes to growth. So on this podcast, we're delivering the tactics you need to finally reach that next level in your business, build your dream team, and scale beyond eight figures. Today on the show, we are replaying a talk from 2020 I had with Grant Cardone. Grant is the CEO of Cardone Capital. He is an international speaker, entrepreneur, and author of 8 award-winning business books, 21 best-selling business programs, and CEO and partner in 7 privately held companies and a $1.5 billion portfolio of multifamily properties. So in this episode, Grant and I talk about how we can stay motivated and continue to believe in ourselves even through tough times. We talk about why you need to get out of your comfort zone and accept more risk. All right. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoy my talk with Grant Cardone. Did you always know you wanted to be a business owner?
No, I didn't. I was forced into being a business owner because I kept getting fired from jobs. So I was 30 years old and kind of just ran out of landing space on the job that I had. I was working for a guy up in Chicago. There was no place for me to go in his company. He didn't create any way for me to evolve in the company. And so I left there because I started experiencing burnout and I thought I was working too hard, but it wasn't actually working too hard. Again, I didn't have a mission anymore. I had already achieved all the missions a couple of times. And I was like, I need a new challenge. There was no new challenges at his company. I wasn't looking to be a partner. I wasn't looking to be the boss. I wasn't looking to be the decision maker. I was already a decision maker in my own little space every day and making things go right in my world and in my job. And I was happy with the job. But at some point, when you've run the same game and the same, if you ride the same ride enough times, you're gonna be like, I don't need to do that ride anymore.
Right.
And so I came home. I was living in Lake Charles, Louisiana at the time. I was traveling. He was in Chicago, and I was traveling 200 days of the year. And came home and said, "Hey, I gotta figure out what I'm gonna do." And I had an idea for how I would change the way people sell things. This is 30 years. So what is that? 1990. Yeah, it was a long time ago. And I wrote a book about it. I never published the book, didn't release the book, but I wrote it as a course book, and I went around and started teaching and selling and showing people another way to do things. It was extremely resisted. You know, new ideas tend to be resisted.
Right.
And it took me 3 years to ever make any money. I went backwards from my other job to this job, to this new job. It was terrible. I probably shouldn't have done it. It was a bad idea. It was not scalable. But, you know, 32 years later now, it all kind of worked its way out.
Right. But so that first 3 years that you were not making any traction at all, where did that inner drive come from that kept you on that track?
There was nothing else I could do. Nobody else was going to hire me. I had lost 6 or 7 jobs before this. I remember I worked at McDonald's when I was 16. I lost that job. Worked at a furniture store when I was 17. Lost that job. Fired. I was fired. I was like, you have to get off the premises. I worked for a car dealer. I was fired from a car dealer 5 or 6 times. I mean, car dealers will hire anybody. And yeah. So I've always been a little bit of a problem. I have a big mouth. I'm very opinionated. And, you know, as you can tell after 3 or 4 minutes. So.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it. No, I think, look, I couldn't hold a job for more than 2 weeks myself. And so I think that, you know, some people are just, they're born entrepreneurs, right? And I know for me, I had to figure the thing out or else, you know, I was going to be in big trouble. So you clearly figured things out. And, you know, you built this massive enterprise. Was there ever along the way that you thought, holy cow, I might lose this whole thing? Does that ever come up for you?
Oh yeah. Like, first of all, I don't think I've built, I appreciate what you're saying about it being this massive thing. It doesn't feel massive to me. It feels really small and, you know, in many ways, very disappointing. I mean, one of the driving forces in my life, if I've always been a bit disappointed with Grant, and feel I've always felt like I'm underplaying my ability, you know, probably why I have the gorilla. When I saw this piece of art, I was like, I got to have that piece of art. I don't know why I got to have that piece of art. I got to have that piece of art. He's so big, you know, he's so like, he takes up so much space. And so that's what I've always wanted from him. My dad died when I was 10 years old, left a big void in my life. And I wanted to be somebody. So when 2008 happened, fast forwarding, like to, I had three businesses. I had a little bit of real estate. This is only 12 years ago.
Yeah.
I had maybe I think I had 300 apartments and two companies. The two companies got just slaughtered. I was living in Los Angeles. I just left San Diego. I lived in La Jolla, moved up to LA. 2008 happens. The two companies got slaughtered. I was officing out of my home. Okay. That was a mistake. And buying a little bit of real estate, dabbling. And then I thought I was doing pretty good, but when the economy hit in 2008, I was like, oh my God, what was I thinking? I've been at risk the whole time and didn't know it.
Yeah.
Because the economy, when these kind of things, events happen, it actually shows you how solvent your business really is or isn't. And so I was at risk then. I was terrified. I mean, to answer your question, I was terrified in 2008 that I would lose everything and swore at that time this would never happen to me again, you know, and that the next time, right now, when it happened again, I'm gonna be at least big enough to where I don't have to worry about it all going away. Now we're in this, I'm like, could it all go away? I don't think so, but it's certainly a scary time right now.
Yeah, it is. And so when these fears come up, or, you know, even in 2008 and a little bit of a hint of it now, I mean, you seem like the type of person, like from the outside looking in, that you handle these tough emotions. But, you know, how do you deal with that? When that comes up, are you the type, I mean, do you go inward? Are you, how do you process that?
You know, I try everything on the available range of tones and choices of energy, you know, like I go through grief. I go through, like when 2020 happened, the amount of grief that hit me immediately was phenomenal amounts. Because I was like, I had literally just walked off a stage with Kevin Hart, John Travolta, Floyd Mayweather, Usher. Spent 3 days with these guys, top of the food chain guys. Had a perfect event. And I went off on this secret project that will be disclosed in October of this year. And I'm like, dude, I'm telling my wife, we are that far from like literally breaking through the stratosphere. Finally going to make it. And then boom, this thing happened, you know? And I'm like, oh my God, why is this? Am I the most unlucky person in the world or what? So the first thing that hit me was grief. And then I'm like, okay, what is this similar to? And then I started putting this is where the entrepreneur with a little bit of experience, particularly if you have a lot of awareness, I was able to tap into 2008 and 9/11 and 1990. And I'm like, okay, what do I need to do right now? Grant, you need to go to acceptance as fast as you can. This is going to be the worst economic event of your lifetime. So this is basically what I played out in my head.
Okay.
Go to zero. Go to zero and everything. Assume that you lose everything. You're going to lose 7,000 units. You're going to lose seven companies. You're going to lose every penny you have. Okay. Go to zero. Now, where are you? Who are you? And what are you going to do to rebuild it?
Right.
So that's what I did in the beginning. But I mean, between me and you, I still wake up every day like, I cannot believe this is still here. I cannot believe this is, I still go back and forth, up and down.
I think
my exterior. Yeah. My exteriors probably aren't completely demonstrating what goes on inside.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, I think that Rockefeller said something like, as long as you know that you could rebuild, mm-hmm. right? So that part of you that built this could do it again. So there, you know, that going to zero is probably a good exercise. Like, okay, if that happened, what would I do?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, just, you know, who wants to do that though? You know, like it's a hard thing to confront.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you know, 35 million people right now are having to go through that.
Yeah.
And it kills me. It kills me to watch. I remember when my dad died, you know, we were a good middle-class family. We'd done well. My dad had done everything right. Saved his money, paid off his debts, worked hard. If he said he was going to do something, he did something. Everything that a good person would do, he played by those rules, paid the house off, et cetera. He dies at 52. My mom on a Thursday, my mom on Monday had already sold the house, cashed in the life insurance, paid off anything that was left to be paid off. She did, downsized us from the country house to back in the city. Like this all happened in a week. When my mother should have been experiencing grief, she was making moves.
Yeah.
But the moves were contraction. They were to get smaller. And when I saw that, I'm like, man, I can't. I didn't know what to do. I didn't actually know what was going on. I'm 10 years old.
Right.
But by the time I'm 15, I know what's going on. I'm like, okay. She's playing defense. And by the time I was 16, I said, I'm going to get rich one day. So I don't have to play defense.
Yeah.
Thinking if I could get rich enough one day, I would never be on defense, but it's actually not true. Okay. You play a bigger game of defense.
Yeah. Yeah. But you're playing to win, not to lose.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. My mom was playing to not lose.
Right. So this for you, because for you, it's all about that bigger level, the 10 times. And I mean, ultimately, that's what business owners want, right? They want to double, quadruple, and more their business. But do you think for you, is there something internally with that loss you had with your dad? You know, losing a father, your father represents that direction in life.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever think that there's going to be a level where you would say, okay, I'm here? Or is it for you just that, always that next sense of accomplishment?
Well, you know, my dad, it's a good question. My dad, I lost my dad 52 years ago. So, I mean, there's got to be something else going on at this point now, right? Like something else has got to be driving the bus. So, let me just go back to the first thing you said. I don't think most business owners want to actually 10X their business or 4X or 2X. I think most business owners actually just want to make a little more money than they made when they were working for someone. And I think a lot of people actually get into business thinking, okay, I'm just going to replace the $50,000 I couldn't live on with another $50,000, but I'm going to be the boss now. So, it's a terrible proposition. By definition, it's not even what an entrepreneur does. An entrepreneur, by definition, organizes businesses and takes on more than greater than normal risk in order to do so. So most people that start businesses are basically just managers. They're just managing an idea. And you're not adding risk to it. Risk is, to me, risk is time and money and liability. And
well,
so
it's not just managing. It's the often the business is managing them.
Yeah, exactly. The business never got big enough. They're like, I'm not going to work for Jazz. I'm not going to work for Coca-Cola. I'm not going to work for Twitter. I'm going to work for myself. You're going to hate yourself. Like, you're better off working for somebody else for 50 grand. Like, I don't, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk was with me one day. He's like, you know, I'd rather somebody that works for 50 grand work for themselves. I'm like, nobody should work for 50 grand. It's stupid. You can't live on 50 grand, Gary. Like, you live in New York. How are you going to live on 50 grand in San Diego, yeah. Los Angeles, Miami, yeah. San Francisco, anywhere in the world? You yeah. need money. People need money. And so I think too many business owners organize a business because they want their own personal freedom, or they want to work for themselves, or some like that would never drove me. The only reason I got in business was to make money. Like yeah. when I was a salesman before I owned my own company, the only reason I went to work every day was to make money. Like I just wanted the money attached with the business. And now I know a lot of guys don't talk about this money thing very much. And they're like, oh, I do it. I'm purpose driven and I'm on my why and I got a mission. My mission has been money the entire time. And unfortunately, I made a bunch of poor decisions because I wasn't correctly educated, because I should have ended up where there was real money, not these little spaces that I'm in.
So what does the money represent, though? Is it like a scorecard for you, or is it freedom?
It represents choices. I want choices. I don't want to feel like I have to sell the house. Like my mom had to sell the house. She had to dump the house. My dad finally bought the dream house. Okay. He worked for money, and money's useless. I mean, it's not, the money is useless, right? What can I do with it though? And so if you don't have money, you know, I know money won't make you happy. I have not been seeking happiness this entire time. I've been seeking freedom and choices. I don't want to be pinned down. That's why I'm going to reopen my offices Monday, whether the government lets me open it up or not. I'm like, I want my choices.
Right.
I'm willing right. to get sick. You know, I want the right to get sick. I speed. I admit that I speed when I drive my car. Okay. I don't mind getting the ticket. I understand. And I grew up where I didn't have those choices. I can't get the ticket. I can't buy a new car. I can't buy fruit, organic fruit. I can't buy good water because it's too expensive. I can't go to Starbucks because, you know, I'll save $4 a day. And over the next 30 years, maybe one day I'll have some money in a retirement account. That's how I was brought up.
Yeah. So you're doing the exact opposite. It's almost as if you're, I don't know, not rebelling isn't the word, but you freed yourself and you're like, you're not going to pin me back down to the way that I was.
Well, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. I tried. It doesn't work. The middle class, this middle class thinking, which to me is best describes what I'm talking about. Save your money, pay off your house, conserve, protect, get a good job. Make just enough money. It doesn't work. It's failing Americans every single day. And it failed my dad. My dad did everything right. He did exactly what the middle class dream is. And it failed him. And so I'm not rebelling. I'm like, oh, that formula just doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know, that thing does not fit into the freedom game.
Well, what about that, this idea of stepping into that higher version of yourself? Because if you're stretching yourself, because the middle class often represents a comfort zone.
Yeah.
Right. So you're stepping outside of that comfort zone. That's where the risk is. What about that whole element for you? I mean, that's exciting, right? There's the adrenaline with that.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm not really an adrenaline guy. I mean, I'm really like a, you know, I really want sure things. I just want sure things. I'm way more conservative than anybody. Financially, I'm extremely conservative. You know, now there are times where I'll take risks. Like we rented the Miami Marlins Stadium. That was a $7 million event. I walked into the place and said, I'll take the whole place. And I'm gonna fill it up on Super Bowl weekend 2017. Everybody's like, you're crazy, dude. I said, no, I know I can do this. To me, that I knew I was stretching the I was stretching possibilities, But I really, truly believed I could do it.
Hi, everyone. Allison here. Now, if you are a CEO or founder and you're ready to build a scalable company that can thrive without you, join me for a free masterclass where we teach you the five critical phases you've got to know in order to scale your business to eight figures and beyond. So head on over to scalemasterclass.com/podcast to secure your seat today. You're going to leave knowing exactly where you are in the scaling process, what you need to do to get to the next level in business. And then I'm going to give you the 15 scalable models that the most successful companies use to make hundreds of millions to even billions of dollars. So head over to scalemasterclass.com/podcast to secure your seat today, and I will see you there. Right.
Yeah.
So I think that's something I'd like to dive into just for a second, because I think that's so powerful, having that belief, you know, before it actually happens. It's almost like you're seeing the unseen. Can you talk about that sense of belief? Because I think, you know, business owners would love to feel that, or anyone actually going after their dreams. And I think they doubt themselves so much that they don't take those leaps.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know how you developed that. I mean, it's definitely self-development. Like I spent a lot of time on Grant, on my personal development, on my belief in myself. On, you used a word earlier that like I use it like constantly, mystery. You don't want to be a mystery. You can't know until you die. You can't know the truth about that. You can't know what happens over here. You just got to trust. I don't want to trust anything. I want to know. I'm not interested in a faith. I'm interested in knowing what is the answer. I truly believe that if I look hard enough, I can find the answer to anything. So for me, the 34,000 people, it's not some kind of like esoteric concept for me. It's me doing math, okay? There's 6 billion people on the planet. First of all, everybody's telling me I shouldn't do it. So that by itself was an indicator. Because most people, the masses are wrong most of the time. So when everybody told me, no, that's crazy, 34,000 people. And then they said Super Bowl weekend, that's insane. I'm thinking to myself, I got this weird kind of logic that's like, okay, well, that's what nobody's going to do an event on Super Bowl weekend except us. And then the third thing was, if I take this risk and pull it off, people will be talking about it forever. Right. It'll be free advertising forever. And the fourth thing is, Grant, if you don't quit, I have this datum that I live by. If I don't quit, I cannot fail.
Yeah.
And so I might have to tweak and I might have to move and I might. But if I don't quit, it's impossible for me to fail if I don't quit. And I just knew that I would not quit until we filled up every seat. So we spent the next 364 days filling up every seat in the arena.
Yeah, well. Yeah, that's quite an accomplishment. And I love what you just said, because I have always felt that most failures are when somebody quits.
Yes.
You know? And so, and you said earlier, you know there's always a solution. It might be around the corner, it might be over the top, but you just don't take no for an answer. And I think that is a key ingredient. I think you definitely embody that, right?
Yeah. But to do that, you know, again, this goes back to when I quit that job and started working for myself. The payoff has to be significant enough. To me, it's not easy enough to tell people, oh, just don't quit. Most people should quit because there's no payoff. You there has to be a payoff significant enough. This is why so many people are happy working from home right now. They're like, yeah, man, I like working from home. I love this. I love being at home. Yeah, of course, because you're not going for a payoff. But if there's a big payoff and you understand there's no big payoffs ever going to happen to your house. Yeah. You're never going to open your refrigerator up and see freedom. Yeah. You're not going to go lay on your couch and reach down. You might find some leftover pistachios from 2 months ago, but you're not going to find, your dreams are not going to, nobody's going to come to your house.
Yeah.
And bring you a package of dreams and freedom and possibility and you know? So, yeah.
So, but how do you, so what advice do you give business owners right now? I mean, that are like, not just to weather the storm, but, you know, how do you get out of this stronger than when you went in?
Yeah, I would go to zero. Whether you go to zero or not is not important, but you need to mentally reboot the entire business now. You need to assume there's no business on the other side of this. That will become true for many people, by the way. Maybe more than ever in the history of the United States of America. 230 years we've been around. This is going to probably be a reboot for the entire economic system and maybe the whole country. So California will probably go busted. Illinois will go busted. These were already states that were in trouble. New York, New Jersey, like the massive problems in this country, like severe, that will affect the entire planet. So I would tell business owners, hey, you knew you were in trouble before this. Your numbers said it. We were going through economic growth that was spiking like this, but your business was growing like this, that like you were literally defying the trip. So if you were having a flat line going into this, you were in trouble. You just weren't confronting it. You weren't taking responsibility for it. You were crossing your fingers and hoping, let me get another 3 or 4 years out of it. That's many industries that have been going through that scenario. Some businesses, like the restaurant businesses, were like, they were on record years, like, oh my God. But they knew underneath that, every restaurant owner in America knows restaurants are always at risk. Get to acceptance as fast as you can. Move through the stages of loss as fast as you possibly can. Get to acceptance. Understand that denial and anger and blame and bargaining are just bullshit options. And that emotions will not serve you in this event. You need to move to pure logic, do the math, and reboot your business.
Like really reinvent yourself, diversify, right? I mean, I run a business coaching company and we mentor business owners all over the world. I mean, the good thing that I will say is we've had clients that had ideas, things they wanted to do, and now this has like been a forced,
yes,
you know, into action, like, you know, almost creating new revenue streams in a week because they had to.
Yeah. Compress, you know, pressure makes diamonds. Threat makes the best of us. And restlessness won't be enough. Okay. Like people need to get angry now. You can't just get stir crazy. Like you need to understand that your freedoms, the freedom to create. Businesses are really artists.
Yeah.
To me, I'm more of an artist than I am a businessman. I'm an actor pretending to be a businessman. I'm writing scripts. I'm a producer. I'm trying to write this story, this movie out. I'm trying to paint this canvas. And
someone's taking your paintbrushes away.
Yeah, they took my paintbrushes, my canvases, I got a nice house. I don't want to be in it every day.
Yeah.
That's not a business. I did that from home. I tried to run a business from home from 30 years old to 45 years old. It does not work. You cannot get big at home. You get smaller at home. You get comfortable at home. You watch TV at home. You eat, you visit Ben and Jerry in the freezer at home, but people need a place to go to work.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just, yeah, we could go on and on with this. It's,
and America needs people. America needs people going to work. America needs like your city, the state, the county all depend on those taxes and they depend on people doing things.
Yeah. So how do you, as we kind of round this out with your team, so you're bringing your team back, how do you motivate your team through this? Where's your head around that?
Yeah, we have a very, very strong culture here. It's almost like a military unit. So it's very strong environment. People know when they come to work here, they're like, okay, this is either going to be real good or real bad.
Okay.
But that creates a strong team. And so we've been doing the Zoom thing. We've been doing video for meetings. We have a meeting every single day. You're required to report your statistics daily. People are required to train daily. But still, I don't have people together. So yeah. Monday, 3 days from right now, I don't know when this plays, but 3 days from right now, we'll restart the company. And we'll be, not restart the company, but restart working from an office. Mm-hmm. Cross our fingers and hope the police don't come arrest me.
But you're doing it anyway.
Hey, if they do, there's worse things than going to jail for a day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, there
are those people that are going to say, oh, well, you're putting your employees at risk.
I am putting my employees at risk.
And they're
because we are at risk. Because we are at risk. Let's just make it official. Living on a goddamn rock that's flying through the universe, spinning, is a risk.
Yeah.
Okay. There's risk of so many things.
We don't know every right. We never know really what's going to happen.
No, I live in Miami. I live on the ocean. There's hurricanes coming this year. We know the hurricanes are coming. Okay, I know there's cancer on this planet. I walk outside, the sun is baking people. People actually go to the beach and try to get this, okay? Like they try to get the cancer injected into their system. I know I'm aging. I'm 62 years old. I'm running out of, this physical unit here is running out of time. So I get in an automobile. There's hundreds of thousands, millions of car wrecks every year. Tens of thousands of losses every month. 10% of the American, there's probably 33 million drug addicts in this country. We have a damn opioid epidemic in this country that we're not talking about that anymore. That'll kill way more people than the coronavirus will.
Way more.
And it will be here for decades. I'm not worried about some virus. So I will put them at risk. If they don't want the risk, then stay home. But you're not going to feel like part of a team staying home.
Yeah. 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 I mean, there's nothing more powerful than having that face-to-face connection. So, yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see what's happening here. I'm hoping we're going to be moving along here pretty quickly. So I think people like you out there being vocal, saying, hey, we're opening, we're moving on, you know, we're expressing our American right here to share our gifts and make a difference in the world with our businesses and give people, you know, an opportunity to have a nice life. That's why they've come to work with you. So,
and people need an example right now, you know, like my only examples are what I see people doing on Instagram and TikTok.
Yeah.
It might be entertaining, but it's not going to make the world better. I need to go, like, even watching Will Smith do something that makes me laugh, or Kevin Hart that makes me chuckle and like, oh, that was funny, right? Yeah, that's a moment, but I need to go do my own thing. And I'm talking about people. People need to go do their own thing. TikTok is not your thing.
Yeah. Well, those of you that are watching right now too, I mean, you know, what are your thoughts about this? Is this, you know, lighting a fire in you to go, hey, you know what? I'm ready to get out there, get my business going again. You know, you've got a lot of people that depend on you. You've got customers that, you know, they want to support your business. Mm-hmm. You know, where do you stand on this? So I appreciate you, Grant. I appreciate that you're, you know, expressing how you feel and that you're being completely honest and, you know, you're living by what, you know, you're practicing what you preach. So, you know, I think a lot of people are in fear right now and understandable. I mean, nobody wants anybody to get sick. So please do not misunderstand us here in what we're saying.
Somebody will.
Yeah, they will. But the thing is, you're weighing what's the worst evil here too. I also think there's, you know, a whole other conversation just about the fear and how we have really, it's a little bit scary. I think there's going to be a lot of PTSD just from the fear that has been, you know, kind of implanted. going on there. So, you know, you can't live your life in fear.
Well, you can't, it's just not going to turn out very well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, listen, I appreciate you coming on here and sharing this. I know it's a tough time for everyone. But you know, I know that you are going to come out of this stronger, and I'm excited to see you, reinventing and, you know, you're going to help a lot of people, and they need that right now. They need your message. That's what inspires me to do what I'm doing, because, yeah. You know, I know, like, for business owners, this is their life. And so they need people out there. They need leaders, you know, and all business owners, we need to be standing up and being that leader right now and help others rise together. So,
and that means, again, taking risk. So, running a business is not about planning. It's about taking risk. And so, you know, I invite all the business owners out there that are inspired by this. Hey, go open your business. You know, be the lady in Dallas in the salon. She's a hero. She's like, I gotta open my salon. Went to court. You probably saw the whole thing. You know, the judge says, yeah. Oh, you're going to jail for 7 days, because she didn't have the $7,000 in bail. She's like, okay, put me in jail. I was inspired by that.
Yeah. 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 So you have heard it here. So wherever you stand, you know, you have your choice. So thank you, Grant.
Hey, you're awesome. Thank you so much for taking interest.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for listening to another episode of The Scale It Method. A quick reminder about our free masterclass. If you want to build a scalable company that can thrive without you, and you're ready to get the support you need to do it, sign up for my masterclass today. And during our time together, I will teach you the 5 critical phases you must know in order to scale to 8 figures and beyond. So head on over to scalemasterclass.com/podcast to secure your seat, and I'll see you there.